O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Palm Sunday is an odd day. We go from one extreme of emotions to another extreme of emotions, and as I listen to the reading of the Passion narrative, it occurs to me that the more things change, the more they remain the same. There's a part of us that wants to skip from Palm Sunday, this Sunday, merely over to Easter Sunday without having to go through Holy Week, which is to miss the drama, to miss the pain, to miss the suffering, to miss all the things that go into this coming week. You see, the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ is powerful, enduring, because it engages us at our deepest level of being, because we were there, you see. That's a difficult thing for us to internalize in our own heart, in our society. But in the Jewish society, in the Jewish culture, one of the characteristics is that they identify personally with every event that happened in their history, whether it was 10 years ago or 3,000 years ago. They identify with it personally. I've told you the story of the guide who was in Israel leading a group, and he was telling them about the battle between the Jews, Judas Maccabeus, and the Assyrians, and he was saying, and we were over here with Judas on this side of the hill, and the Assyrians were coming around the other side of the hill, not knowing that we were there, and all of a sudden we attacked and we won the battle, and he was excited, and someone said, "You sound like you were there." He said, I was. That's the same identification that you and I need with the events that come up in the few days between now and Easter. We were there. We are there. The more things change, the more they remain the same. I think it's daring to preach after telling the story of the Lord's Passion, because I have to ask, wherein lies the power of the story? Why does it touch us, haunt us, challenge us? And I think a clue to that is in the title, The Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we look up the word passion in the dictionary, its definition is the suffering between the night of the Last Supper and the death of Christ on the cross. And that's how the word passion becomes associated with the story. But a second meaning in the English version is that it means an intense emotion, compelling action. And now that's a wonderful secondary meaning, I think. Because the gospel is not only about the suffering of Jesus, about his passion, but it's about our passion that comes out of his passion. Actions prompted by emotions. We hear the story read and we experience a feeling of betrayal, the feeling of struggle and to do God's will. We experience disappointment. We experience all those inner struggles in Christ through the coming week. Finally, abandonment, when he says on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, the power of the story is that we identify with the emotions because we go through many of those same emotions. For instance, we go through in our lives the emotions of when things are going well, it's a Palm Sunday thing, and Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, yay, Jesus, everything is going well. But then when things don't go well, we want to say, well, I don't believe it, this God thing is working out. Or this man Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about. Get him out of here. Crucify him. The more things change, the more they remain the same. The story teaches us at our deepest level that we have similar experiences, this back and forth, this ebb and flow. But the essence of the Passion story is found not only in the intense emotion of the story itself, but also in the actions these emotions compel in us. It calls us to stick with God in Christ no matter what. To rely on his grace, to live the abundant life, just not to get through life and at the end of life, as the old song says, is that all there is? I think we can take an example from the disciple John. I like to call John the disciple of the cross. There's another Saint John of the Cross later on in Christian history, but John was the only one that's named at the foot of the cross with Mary. He stayed with Jesus to the very end. He would be the one who was with Jesus through the most anguished moments. He was the one at the foot of the cross to whom Jesus said, "Take care of my mother. Guard my mother." No other disciples are mentioned as being at the foot of the cross. And so on this Palm Sunday, it's a matter of urgency that we take on this John-like demeanor in ourselves by taking up our cross to totally following Christ and following faithfully. You see, beloved, on this first day of Holy Week, we come to this altar and we come to this place not only to receive palm fronds, but to receive the living bread and the wine that comes into us and renews us for the painful journey this week has to offer, this experience of Christ captive, judged, crucified. And in these elements, he gives us his body and his blood to assure us that our sins are forgiven and that the life with God in Christ is the abundant life as promised. So we come today not singing hosannas necessarily or even sighing with grief, but we come open to what it means to be the disciples of the cross, like John, for this day, for this age, for this life. And so the invitation this morning is to come, journey through Holy Week. It begins Tuesday with our Seder Supper when we reenact those exodus and those deliverance of God. And together we emerge next Sunday with the shout, "Alleluia, Christ is risen." Amen.